Our topic tonight must touch your hearts, as it has touched mine. The topic of heaven has intrigued me from a very young age. Ever since I could think, I've longed for heaven as a wonderful place. Now, how can I depict heaven to some of our friends here? How do you imagine heaven to be? When I was young, as a child, I went to school in Singapore, away from my parents in Senai. Now, if you don't know where Senai is, that is the southern part of Johor, where there is an airport. My school term was divided into three parts. The first week, the last week, and in between. First week is when we leave home. And of course, at 6 years old, home is all you have. That gives you an idea of heaven. The first week was spent every afternoon in crying, missing father and mother. In those days, there's no telephone. You don't go home for weekends. Although it is only an hour's drive today, in those days it seemed like a very far-off place. So once you go to school in Singapore, you don't see parents, you don't hear their voice for 3 months. So that's why my school term is divided into three parts. First week of crying, in between struggling with schoolwork to meet father's demands. He's a very demanding person. Last week, what? Wow, thinking of home. Packing, preparing, happy, schoolwork nearly finished, going back to see father and mother again, home, home, sweet home. So that is my experience. And to me, dear, if only one day I can have a place like Senai to go back. Father and mother, that makes home. Home, sweet home. So that was my first conception of what heaven could be like. Of course, this is very childish, you say. Of course, it's childish. You are a child, you think that way. So when you are a child, you think as a child. When you grow up, you think differently. The next phase of my experience of home, by the way, from all these I'm going to tell you, you will know that I'm a very homebound person. Yes. 1956 to 59, I was sent away to study for my graduate degree to the United Kingdom. I was prepared to be away for 3 years. Now, my friends, this is not the first week experience, but it is a first month experience when you are plucked out of warm Singapore from your home and planted in the place called Belfast. Cold, strange, even the language is strange. You know, they don't speak proper English there. The Irish speak a kind of Irish English. And again, there is no communication. You don't have telephones. So all by yourself living in the hospital. I wasn't sick, but that was the quarters. And they put me in the quarters. That 1 month nearly killed me. Truly, I told my wife in the letter, I think I pack up and go home. I cannot take it. Why? Home is home. Dear friends, I left her, my daughter, unborn son, and all the family in Singapore. That is heaven. To me, at that time, that is heaven. I'm in Belfast. I nearly packed up and went home. Thank God I didn't. What is heaven like, dear friends? Is there somewhere we can get an idea that will quicken our steps and thrill us, challenge us? Please turn with me, and I say, don't you ever believe those books that are written about tunnel vision, people who go to a strange, wonderful place, come back and tell of what they saw, all kinds of amazing things. Don't trust in fiction, dear friends. Trust in the Word of God. Revelation chapter 21. Here is the Word of God, and I pray that if you have never thought of heaven, never yearned after heaven, after tonight, may God's Spirit change you and touch your heart to know that there is a place prepared for prepared people. You get me? A place prepared by God for prepared people. Are you one of the prepared people? Let's read. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. These are the words of eyewitness. John the Apostle says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Praise God. That is your everlasting home, dear friends. Do you have a place there? This is all that matters. Not how well you do on earth. We all want to do well, don't we? You have no future on earth beyond your 70, 80 years. Now, John saw it. My childhood fantasies of homesickness, my adult experience in Belfast, all these pale into nothing. You got to come to God's Word. Now listen. I, John, saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Every bride on the wedding day is pretty. That is absolutely true, because she is decorated. Now this city of God is brand new. And when God decorates the city, I tell you, dear friends, no interior designer or exterior designer or architect can do anything like that. Why, our God is the master architect, and he has designed and built a beautiful city. Do these words thrill you? Challenge you? You see, no matter what you have on earth, no matter whether you have the best mansion or palace, one day you got to leave it. This is the problem, isn't it? You can be house proud and build the best condominium apartment and say, I'm going to enjoy it, before you ever even get in. You can be sick and die, you know. This is the problem. We cannot hold anything on earth on a permanent basis. So what must we do? Look at God's Word, and it says here, God has prepared a place for you. Are you prepared for it? As I said just now at the opening, this is a prepared place for prepared people. You must be prepared. And I say, dear friends, I pray that after tonight, if you are not prepared, you will be prepared. You want to be prepared, and you want to be assured, because if you do not get a place in that prepared place, the other alternative is a very sad place. Please, I beg of you, don't go there. Don't. All right, now let's read on. Verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. How wonderful! Who is God? Our great Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to be there. And David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Only one thing. Who says that? David. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, so that I do not have to leave it. My dear friends, tonight, if I can convince you by the Word of God that you have no stake on earth. All of us are but travelers, pilgrims, passing through. It's like a hotel. You check in tonight, get out tomorrow. That's all we have on earth. But God has prepared a place for them that love him. There is no great qualification, no great demand on anyone to get a place in heaven. None at all. All that God wants from you is, my son, give me your heart. Just give me your heart. Put Jesus first in your life and say, Lord, I want to be where you are and where you will prepare this wonderful place for us. Can you say that? God does not make things difficult for us. Only we make things difficult for ourselves. Now let's read on. What this place will be like. When was the last time you shed a tear? When was the last time you felt that life was not worth living? Let's read on. Verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. How wonderful, oh dear friends. Are you afraid of death? Well, many of us now in the faith, we are not afraid, but most of us do not like it. I don't like it. Why? Because in the flesh, there is still those fleshly desires, relationships between husband and wife, father and children, brother and brother, sister and sister. Those things are natural. Those things are part of this life, and we cannot avoid it. What must we do then? Be sure of the next home God has prepared for you. That is the purpose of tonight's message. You see, no speculation. There is none at all. All that we say and we believe here are absolute certainties and assured by God's word. Now, let's look at verse 4 again. If any of you are ever sad, turn to Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away your tears from your eyes. And there shall be no more death. How wonderful. We don't need any more doctors, nor hospitals, nor mortuaries, nor cemeteries. None of those things. No more. The landscape in heaven will be beautiful. You will not see any tombstone at all, dear friends. How wonderful. You're longing for it? Please do. If you don't, I think you are not feeling at all. You're not feeling for yourself. Please pray, as I said, when you hear God's word, pray. Pray that God's Spirit will open your heart, that you will believe the word of truth that God has given to us, that when you get to heaven, he will wipe away all your tears. There will be no more sorrow, no more problem, no more worries, insomnia, and then sickness and death. All these things will be things of the past. Neither sorrow, verse 4, the last part, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How wonderful. When we get there, we will have perhaps a very distant memory of things on earth. Maybe, I don't know, whether God will take away, erase all those unhappy memories of earth and all the sadness and sorrow and the problems of earth. Will we remember it? I don't know. Now, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. How wonderful. All things new means never to grow old. And that is the greatest thing we can ever think of on earth. You can never hope for such things. You know, you buy a brand new motor car. You buy two. You drive one, keep one. After 1 year, you can't start the other one. It's already rotted away. You know that? Yes, this is the natural law on earth. Everything grows old. Everything falls apart. Everything gets out of order. In heaven, God will prepare mansions that never need repair. Never have a leak. No locks to any door, mind you. Why? No thieves there. No police stations. No policemen. No soldiers. All these things are things of the past. And it says here, look, in case you don't believe, verse 5. And he said unto me, write, For these words are true and faithful. What a wonderful God we have who keeps reminding us, please, please don't doubt. How else can God tell us? And this is the one who came down to earth, walked the streets of Jerusalem, carried our sins with him to the cross, died for us, rose for us from the dead. Now he's speaking to you. What else do you want to guarantee that these are truths, truths that God has given to us? Are you listening? Are you praying? Pray what? Lord, help me to believe that your words are faithful and true. For when you believe, these words will change your whole lifestyle, will change the way you live. And I'm going to go into that because tonight's footprints is about grandfather. All right, we're coming to that in a moment. Verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. What is done? All the preparations for our arrival in heaven is done. Everything is ready. Only thing is, are you ready, dear friends? Our Lord is there ready. I am Alpha and Omega, he says. Look at verse 6. The beginning and the end. I began it all. I end it all. Earth history is coming to a close very shortly. Do you know that? Yes, dear friends, please do not ever imagine that things on earth will continue very much longer. They cannot. They shall not. Simply because the Lord is returning. And earth history and man's history has a conclusion, and that day of conclusion is very near. Are you ready for it? Read on, please. Jesus says, I am Alpha, the one who began man's history with creation. And I am Omega, the one who will wind up the history with judgment. Every human being will be judged. Are you ready for that judgment? I say, dear friends, who can stand? Who can stand before God's judgment? Only those who have now trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him and say, Lord, I trust in you, my Savior. Are you all listening, all young people, boys and girls and young people? Put your faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, and who takes away all your sins, and he bears your judgment so that when history concludes and the judgment day comes, you will not be judged with the condemned. Oh, that's the greatest piece of news for you tonight, isn't it? Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sins taken away? Then you will not face the judgment of the Lamb of God on the great white throne. All right, let's look on. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. Oh, how wonderful. When once we were far away, aliens, strangers, enemies of God, now because of Jesus Christ, he's drawn us back to himself, and we have become sons of God, friends of God, fellow citizens, no longer aliens. How wonderful. Are you one of them? The offer is today. So here it is. He shall be my son. Are you a son of God, a daughter of God? Now, verse 8, a word of warning. Dear friends, do not be part of this described in verse 8. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, you do not need to actually physically kill people, but hating people, envying people, and running down people, backbiting, gossiping, character assassination, all these things which sins have never been forgiven. Whoremongers is coming rapidly everywhere around the world. Who are the whoremongers? Who make capital and business out of sex. Whoremongers. a thriving business today. I pray that none here will be caught up in this whoremongering business. Sorcerers, people who play black magic, all kinds of occult arts today, thriving everywhere. People do not know whom to turn to. They turn to sorcerers, to witches, to bomos, to all these people. Are you one of them? Idolaters who hang images around their neck, who hang images in the houses, and who pray to these people, kiss them. These people will never get to heaven. Who says so? God's word says so. Idolaters. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. I pray, Lord, to save all present here tonight, that none will knowingly choose to go to this place that burns with fire and brimstone. Why? Because God says, now is the day of salvation. Today. Now. Now is the accepted time. Do not wait. Do not wait. When you have breathed your last, it's over. Judgment is set. Now to your notes, dear friends. I thank God for godly parents and a godly grandfather. I trust you all have got the notes. And I always marvel that grandfather had none of the heritage that I had. He came out of a totally idolatrous, heathen background. From his own lips, with my own ears, I've heard him say, I was 19, brought up in most idolatrous, evil, wicked society where men and women practiced sin openly. And they were very cruel people, savage almost. And out of that background, God took him out of his village to hear a gospel meeting in the city. When he heard the gospel and that word of God hit his heart, it showed to him what a great sinner he was and the horrible punishment that was reserved for those who do not accept the salvation grace of God. He heard it and he says, I was convicted of my sin. Now I marveled at his conversion, because one hearing of the gospel brought him to a complete severance with his past life. Just, that's it. Never again. His lust for all kinds of sinful things suddenly was taken away by God. From that day, he says, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When? 19 years old. How? By the grace and mercy of God. No godly parents, no Sunday school teacher, no Christian friends, nobody. Who? Only the word of God by the preacher. At 26, he gave himself to serve the Lord Jesus. Something that he did all his life, although he retired, officially retired, when we went to live with him in a place called Aukang. All right, those of you who live on the eastern sector of Singapore will remember, will know where, what I mean. It was Upper Serangoon Road, the junction of Upper Serangoon with Bartley Road. You know where Bartley Road is? Now, of course, the whole geography is totally changed. We live at the corner place. And the life we lived with grandfather for 4 years have left an indelible impression that can never be forgotten. Great Bible truths, way of life, way of belief and faith, all those things have become part of me, my brothers and sisters who live with him, simply by seeing the way grandfather lived. Not what he said that mattered so much, I want to say this to all of us here who are Christians. Please, ask yourself, what kind of a footprint are you leaving behind? How do those who observe you every day derive blessing out of your life? Are they? Do people watch you and say, this is the way I like to live? But this was the way that I observed grandfather. No interest in anything else except to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He cultivated no worldly friends in society at all. Not that he could not, but he did not. He never visited a place of entertainment. He never went anywhere except to preach the gospel. Now that kind of devotion and dedication, you see, and you say, yes, I like to be, I like to do. So there was grandfather. Page 2, please. He wrote a will. Part of that will is on page 1. Basically, that will says, I am totally given to God. And the world and I have severed relationships. I have no interest in worldly and material wealth. None at all. I will earn a living by being a pastor, earn my $30, enough for my daily expenses, and no more. He did not save a cent. If he has got excess money, it is given to those in need, such as people who suffer from floods or fire. His money goes there. Now, this is his lifestyle. What do you think of that? A person who has no interest to accumulate any kind of wealth. This is what it says on page 2 on the top. And this is in his will. And I can say that this is the way he lived his life. Nothing more, nothing less. Para 3, grandfather's pattern of life after conversion followed closely the story of Abraham. Now we read the story of Abraham, and the grandfather followed a kind of a lifestyle very close to that. Living in tabernacles, that is intense. That kind of living is from day to day. As long as I can get by every day, that's enough. To economize, we live in that little compound. He will utilize everything out of the ground that is possible. You need vegetable, he plants sweet potato. You need a dish, the sweet potato leaf is his vegetable. Bananas, very easy to plant. Durians, when the flowers fall, that is the best with curry. When the durians are sold, he says, this belongs to God. You put the money back to God in the offering. Nothing is wasted for grandfather, and they live frugally. I say, I've learned a few things from him. Then he sums up all that the world can offer. He says, grandsons, this world is useless. Do not set your heart and affection on the world, because all that it offers is no more than a cold overnight potato. Right? Do you know what that means? Some leftover food. Next day, do you go straight for it and say, wonderful? No. And he says, that is the worth of the whole world, a sweet potato overnight. Grandfather was a man of the book. The only book besides the newspaper and the Bible commentary is the Bible. He does not look into comics or fiction or novels or any such thing, or reading all those Chinese classics. The walls of our meeting hall are our sitting room. Our house was a dad-up house. 4 rooms with a sitting room in the center. That is the sanctuary. Why? That is the church. Every Sunday, my business is to arrange the benches for the people who come, about 30. And all the walls are adorned with grandfather's Bible verses written on pieces of cloth like this. And with his brush, all those wonderful Bible verses will be hanging all around the four walls. That is his relationship and his love with the Lord and the Word of God. Bottom of page 2. As a child of 6, when I first came under grandfather's care until I left him at 10, I was struck by his single-minded devotion to the Lord. Everything that pertained to God's kingdom, that to him is important. Anything that is not of God's kingdom, that to him is secondary and non-important. So what are these? God's word, God's house. Oh, he keeps that house very clean and very proper for the members to come on Sunday to worship. I tell you, dear friends, this kind of respect for the house of God has rubbed off on me. So much so that this house, you can see what it is like today. Of course, this is now 70 years after grandfather, right? We have advanced a long way. But here is a house that is well kept, clean, dignified, yes, sanctified place for people to come and worship God. So that kind of impression has come onto me. God's day. Ah, this is the best. Grandson on God's day, no marbles, no games. What do we do? Come with me, we'll go tracting. I mean, friends, these things you do not forget easily. On the Lord's day, it is the Lord's day. You just don't do anything else. You just read the Bible and prepare for Monday. God's name, God's kingdom, God's work. Even after he retired and he was old, he will carry a little Johnson flag and with the Bible in his hand, go tracting, preaching the word of God. Page 3. Often I have wondered at the very top there, thinking of grandfather through the years, long after his departure, he died in the Japanese time. 1943. You know what? He lived in Singapore, but we lived then in Batok Pahat. One day he said to my father was the eldest son, and he said, I'd like to come and live with you in Batok Pahat. Oh, of course. You know, dear friends, there is nothing more precious and blessed than your old father says, I want to come and live with you. You know that? Please, do not fall into that culture which says, old people to old people's home. We can't look after old people. But I tell you, my mother said, welcome. She will look after grandfather. That is our blessing. So grandfather came and became the blessing to us. Every day he'll stand outside the dispensary, the clinic, and all the passers-by will not escape his tracting and his preaching. It's every day. How old was he? 83 when God took him. But I say, that kind of blessing you cannot forget. That heritage of a godly grandfather who goes on serving the Lord without flagging, without giving up, without weakening. Even though he was 83, he kept on. So I say, dear friends, how about you? How do you love the Lord? And how can you love the Lord? I say, there is a verse here that seems to tell me why grandfather was so much in love with the Lord. Do you know why? Do you know why you love the Lord? Hebrews 11:13. Look at that. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, including my father, my grandfather, my mother. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but what? Having seen them afar off, while you listen to this, pray what? God, give me the vision with my mind's eye to see that heaven is real, to see that the place you prepared for me is a fact coming to pass, for me to see, for me to reach there one day and be part of that community. When you have seen that with your mind's eye, your life will change. Exactly what happened with grandfather. Coming out of the village, hearing the gospel once, and say, I have no more to do with the world. No more. Because my heart is one to heaven. One by the message of the gospel. One by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for me. One by God preparing for me a place up there. Now verse 13 makes sense to you, doesn't it? Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is exactly what we all ought to have, that experience. What experience, young people in the front? What is the experience? Pray God give me to see with my mind's eye that what you've written in your book is true. And help me to see that Revelation 21 verse 4 is true. You wipe away all my tears, and you give me a place that will never grow old, and you will live with me, be my God, and I'll be your child, and I can live with you forever and ever, and there will be no pain, no sickness, no death, no parting, no sorrow at all. Do you know that? Do you know it? Do you believe it? Once you believe it, and having seen it with your mind's eye, your whole life will change. And you will be walking every day with God because you know that is the only way to go to heaven. Then you begin to tread the outskirts of heaven, as this is the title tonight. Outskirts of heaven. What do you mean by outskirts of heaven? You ever feel your heart thrilled when you are approaching your home? Of course, nowadays, not very much, I tell you. But when you are young, as I said, my days when I was six, my term is divided into three parts. First week, the middle part, and the last week. The last week is when you think of home every day. Packing, preparing, and then when you are taken home, wow, to see the entrance to the road to that our place in the rubber estate in Sinai. Wow. Your heart leaps up, doesn't it? Do you have that kind of anticipation of heaven? Does God captivate your love, that you look forward to the day when I shall see my Savior face to face? When you have seen heaven, your love for earth, for the things of the world, will grow into nothing. Then you will not dabble in the things of the earth. You will not want to do the sinful things of earth. Why? Because my home is in heaven. And every day I'm longing for heaven. Please do that. And every day walk with God on the outskirts of heaven. Now back to your notes, and our time is flying. Para 3 of page 3. Such godly persuasion never dies. I pray that God will persuade you that your citizenship in Singapore is not permanent. You say, wait. I'm a citizen. I was born here. I say, congratulations, that's very good. But very soon, you got to depart also, whether you are permanent or temporary, you got to depart. So I said, dear friends, please all persuade ourselves, our home is not in Singapore, nor anywhere else on earth. Our home is up there. And therefore, prepare for that home. Para 1, 2, 3, 4 now. The desire and longing for the city of God so gripped grandfather. His entire lifestyle and conduct was transformed. May tonight be the beginning of a transformation in some life here. Tonight. Maybe you. Maybe me. Yes. All of us need to examine our lives, to check on ourselves. Are we all walking with God? As it were, on the outskirts of heaven. Why? Outskirts of heaven means any moment I can get in. Any moment I can meet God. How shall I walk, therefore? Never forget this. Why do people sin? Why do people stray away? Why do people backslide? Because they forget they are citizens of heaven. They forget they belong to God. They forget that Jesus Christ has paid the price for them and bought them, purchased them, and owns them, owns you, owns me. How are you living? My friends, read on. Now, if I were allowed to express in words what I observed in grandfather's way of life, I have here in that paragraph in italics. If my home is in heaven, where my God and Maker awaits my arrival, should not each day of this life be lived as in his presence? You ask yourself, are you a true Christian? You love the Lord? If you love the Lord, you will not want to offend him. If you love the Lord, you will fear to offend him. So you will live a different life. So many young people say, I can't help it. When friends come and they pull me, I go and do the wrong things again. Why? Why won't you let Jesus Christ pull you along? Go with him. Yes, here it is. If my home is in heaven, where my God and Maker awaits my arrival, should not I spend each day as in his presence? This is the whole point of tonight. Walking, treading the outskirts of heaven with the Lord, the King of heaven, walking with me. How about that? Now let's continue. After all, we believers all know that our God sees us afar off. Does he see you? Oh, my friends, too often we think, nobody knows, nobody sees, so I can do what I like. Oh, my friends, you are mistaken. Don't be mistaken. The Lord sees you afar off. And he is not just concerned, but he's very interested in you. He's very much concerned and mindful of you, that he wants every child to walk with him, as it were, treading the outskirts of heaven, because very soon he wants you home with him. Do you know that? I said that's a glorious thought. That thought should inspire us all not to sin, not to go the way of the world. Continue. And every action and movement is under his surveillance, and he's very interested, nay, intimately concerned with all that we do, even as a caring father watches over every child. Oh yes, if you're the father, you are concerned with every child, how that child is doing, and you are a child of God, God is concerned. How then should I walk but to bring honor and glory to his name? Right. How shall we then live? Before I conclude, I just show you a picture of my grandfather. All right, here he is. Who does he look like? Well, he looks like himself. I show you again. He wears a black chongsan, Chinese style. And that is his only uniform. And he will go preaching, telling people all about the Savior who saved him out of the village, out of his sinful past. And I say, I am very, very great. With the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has the power and the salvation of all that he needs. And he believed. And all his life is a life of faith. When I first arrived in Accra, Rezan, come here. Yes. I need you to pray. You pray for faith. Faith? I'm 6 years old. But I never mind. She said, never mind. You pray for faith. I said, all right, I pray for faith. All my life I pray for faith. I tell you, dear friends, even though you do not understand everything, you all pray for me. And pray earnestly, honestly, Lord, give me faith. Here is the man of faith. Because once the Lord captivated him, no more of the world. He only is you. From this day forward, nothing of the world. I say all of us should have that kind of conviction. That kind of persuasion that heaven is the only
Well, this is the man. If you understand Chinese, then this is for you. 为我们所归，万古不一，放掉。It means Lord of great names and all generations. This is what it means. All right, this is Psalm 90. All right. Now this kind of writing is powerful. If you don't understand Chinese calligraphy, this is a very powerful ensign. 75-year-old man. I said, no, please, I mean, no. And his name. So here you have an idea of who this man was. And I say, he lived only for the Lord. He lived
only for the kingdom of God. May we all learn something tonight. Remember this old faith, old man, a man of faith. And we'll remember, Lord, you have saved him, you have saved me. Please give me the faith, the same faith, that I will value my part in heaven. For once I have been assured of a place in heaven, earth becomes a cold overnight potato. It's nothing more. No use. Dear friends, let's pray. Our Lord and our God, may thou speak to some heart here tonight, that we will all say, Lord, take my heart and make it thy royal throne. Take my life and let it be lived for thee alone. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.